What's going on, everybody? My name is Michael Ponerbaro, aka Sonic's number one fan, and this is the Bros and Consoles podcast. Now, this week will be the same as last week. It's going to be a solo episode. Nathan's away, so I'm giving you guys another great episode of my early Sonic years. So if you remember last episode, I talked about the early Sonic games and how it affected me as a kid. So Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3. So this week, I want to go into the next step, basically, which is the what I call the middle Sonic years, in a sense. So it's going to be Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2. The other ones I'll maybe talk down the line, but those two are the two I want to really dive into because those ones had the biggest effect on me and it just grew my obsession with Sonic. So again, it'll be another probably shorter episode than the normal hour plus long ones, but hopefully you enjoy it and get some Sonic love out of it. So I guess we'll just start. It was the year 2000. Beyblades and Razor scooters were the in thing with my friends and I. And we were just out on the streets playing like nobody's business. If we weren't shredding it up on the streets or shredding it up in the plastic arena, we were inside playing what can be universally considered the greatest video game console of all time. And that's the Sega Dreamcast. Now, no PlayStation, no Nintendo systems. Sega Dreamcast is the top dog. Now, up to this point, I had been playing through all my old Sonic games. I say old, but it was the only ones I had, so I say old in the sense that I've had them for a while. So Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic Adventure, Sonic Spinball, not Sonic Adventure, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, Sonic Spinball, Sonic CD, all those ones. I was just playing those all the time. I was doing that in anticipation of being able to play this new Sonic game that has come out, that had come out, and has been that had been floating around for a couple years. And that was Sonic Adventure. I don't remember how I found out about it. I think it was probably through a game magazine I had back then. Not Nintendo Power, but some other one, maybe Game Informer, who knows. But it was about 2 years old at that point, the game, I think. But I didn't own it. One, because I hadn't gotten a Dreamcast yet, which I did recently in 2000. And two, money, obviously. But once I did get the Dreamcast, I knew it was inevitable that I was going to get that nice, cool-looking Sonic Adventure game in my hands. So one glorious day, and I believe that was Christmas that year, I came downstairs, looked under the tree, and I saw a disc-shaped present under the tree. I instantly knew what it was. My heart started beating faster, my eyes became dilated, and sweat started dripping down my face. I grabbed the square-shaped present, and I slowly and methodically ripped it open, and I saw that beautiful blue hedgehog staring back at me. I instantly knew it was Sonic Adventure. Nah, who am I kidding? I tore that bad boy open and screamed in joy when I saw that it was Sonic Adventure. And man, at that time, I didn't know what I was in for. I thought, 3D Sonic game, this will be great. Nice linear game with just 3D graphics. Awesome. But man, was I pleasantly surprised at the time. When I put that game in, everything about it was amazing to me. From the 3D look to the butt rock music. If you know what butt rock music is, you have great taste. To the gameplay, to the characters, to everything. Now in hindsight, I say all these great things about it. The game probably isn't as amazing as I'm making it out to be, as I enjoyed it as a kid, and it probably hasn't aged well, and a lot of it's probably nostalgia, But as a kid, I didn't care or even noticed. This was Sonic in a new modern 3D form. And it was basically everything I wanted it to be back then. Even the brand new characters they created in the game. The biggest one. Now, people will say Amy was a new character, but she really wasn't. She first appeared in Sonic CD. So she technically wasn't a new character. She had a new design for Sonic Adventure, but essentially it was the same character. The one that I'm really talking about is Big the Cat. Now, Big the Cat is very controversial. You either like him or you don't. It's like 20% you like him and 80% you don't. So he's not a well-liked character, honestly. But as a kid, maybe, yeah, second grade, third grade, as a kid, I thought Big the Cat was great. His fishing missions were extremely frustrating, yes, I agree. Even back then, I hated them. You had to fish for his pet frog named Froggy. Yes, his name was Froggy. And you had to catch him in either a pool or a lake or an ocean because he kept running away from you. He's a terrible pet. Terrible, terrible pet. Hated him. And he always grabbed onto the lure and then he would let go. It would take like 30, 40, 50 minutes just to catch him. And it was annoying. But the character Big, the cat, was charming to me. He wasn't the most intelligent. He wasn't the brightest. But he looked cool. And he was a cat. And that's the most important thing. Because we all know cats are the superior animal. They're better than dogs. You heard it here first. But the other cool thing was the story wasn't just one cohesive, flowing narrative, you know? Now you could almost say that's probably not a good thing, but it was different at the time. So I thought it was a good thing. You would play as Sonic, you'd play his story, you'd play as Tails, you'd play his story, you'd play as Amy, you'd play her story, and so on, all the characters like that. And at the end, they would all coalesce together to one final outcome, basically. And it was cool. It was never done in a Sonic game like that before. So I was like, this is crazy. I don't care if it's bad. It's amazing. I said that multiple times because I couldn't think of another word. But this was the epitome of a Sonic game. This is what I thought Sonic games could be. I didn't think anything else would top this. I'm like, this is as good as Sonic is going to get, and I'm happy. But little did I know, there was going to be a sequel to this game, Sonic Adventure. And it was right around the corner. And it would take the Sonic character and his universe and jack up its coolness to about an 11. Maybe even like a 15, you know? It was that cool. And I finally got my hands onto it. And that game was Sonic Adventure 2. And this just took everything Sonic Adventure 1 was and made it better. Now you know how I mentioned Sonic Adventure 1 had butt rock music, which made it great. Sonic Adventure 2 was filled with it. From its theme song, Live and Learn, by the great band Crush 40, to City Escape, which Sonic was riding down the streets of San Francisco, basically, on a skateboard made off from like a helicopter part, to even the Pumpkin Hill theme, which is Knuckles level, where you have to go fly around and find Chaos Emeralds. Kind of annoying, but still great. Still great. It wasn't bad at all. But Sonic Adventure 2, with this music, basically set the tone for my early years love of rock anthems. Like the cheesy kind. And not only was the music at Sonic Adventure 2 amazing, but the introduction of probably the coolest character in the universe, Shadow the Hedgehog. Now, Shadow the Hedgehog was basically the super edgy and dark version of Sonic, completely solidifying this game as cool. Because Sonic, while he was really, really cool, he didn't have that edge to him, you know? He had that cool factor, like, oh yeah, I got this witty banter and stuff. But he was always like this happy-go-lucky guy. Shadow, at the time, for me at least, when I was this age, I was like, oh man, he's this dark, edgy, I don't care about anything character. This is cool. This complements Sonic so well. And basically his backstory and his super dark history, which ultimately led up to his villainous motives in the game. I say villainous, but ultimately ignorant motives were basically mirrored that of Knuckles and Sonic and Knuckles. You know how I mentioned Knuckles was kind of the villain, but he really wasn't. He was just manipulated, basically. That's almost the same with Shadow. But he was still super cool. And there's a turning point in the game where he kind of turns good, and I was like, yes! This is what I want from him. The icing on the cake, though, was at the end of the game, spoilers now, even though it's like almost 20, basically 20 years old now, when Sonic and Shadow both turn into their super forms, and when I say super forms, they basically turn Super Saiyan. And yes, they essentially ripped off Super Saiyans from Dragon Ball. But I didn't care. And I don't think really anyone really cared at that time, or even now. But it's basically they turn Super Saiyan. And they team up at the end with their new superpowers and stuff, and defeat the true villain of the game. That was honestly one of the hypest moments of my early years. I vividly remember watching that and playing that, and goosebumps and screaming and getting so excited. That even today, I go on YouTube, look up the ending of the game, and just watch it multiple times. Probably a couple times a year, just to like re-experience that moment. And I still get goosebumps to this day, because it's that good. But one of the best things about the game, in my opinion, and what really connected me and my friends back then, I say that like we weren't connected already, but what really, like, what we were all bonded over in this game the most was the Chao Garden aspect. Now, Sonic Adventure had Chaos, which are these, like, little blue, basically alien creatures, essentially, in the game, where they're like egg forms, and you can raise them, and you can give them animals and stuff, and they develop. Sonic Adventure 1 didn't really go too deep into that, but Sonic Adventure 2 had its own Chao Garden, which basically means you could hatch these Chaos and essentially feed them little animals you rescue, which sounds bad, honestly. But you feed them these little animals and like little emerald things that you collect throughout the levels, and they develop like wings or lion feet or horns or whatever, and they grow up and they gain powers and stuff. When you gain these powers, you can like pit your Chao that you're raising against other Chaos and like fighting tournaments and like racing tournaments against your friends. So it was basically multiplayer, almost like a weird Mario Party-esque game or mini game within Sonic Adventure 2, which is very weird, but it was so fun. You could even like, there's if you didn't know that the Sega Dreamcast had a memory card that you slipped into the controller itself, it was like almost like half the size of like what phones are today. It was like a mini like iPod size thing that you could take out if you saved your Chao onto it, and you could play like a Chao adventure game on the memory card itself. And in this game, you would take your Chao that you've been raising and evolving and leveling up, and you could take them on a journey to gain more powers outside the game. So it was essentially, how would I describe it? It was essentially you saving a game on your console and then putting it onto a portable device. Kind of like you would do for like Zelda Four Swords or Animal Crossing or things like that with the Game Boy Advance. But this was just the Sega Dreamcast memory card that you could do this on. And then once you would put it back into the controller and turn on the game, whatever levels and skills you got playing that mini game on the memory card, your chow would just then transfer it into the main game. So you could basically just level up your chow. It was almost like Tamagotchi. That's a good example. Tamagotchi. You know those where you'd raise your animal and stuff? It was essentially that. But you'd be leveling it up within the memory card, and then you could bring over that progress to the main game. It was so cool. I just remember putting so many hours into that and raising so many different chows to make them look like angels and demons and other animals. It was so, so good. And they never brought that version or that chow minigame stuff back into any of the other Sonic games. They've brought the chow character back, but they've never really brought the chow garden back. And it's a shame. They really, really should, because I think there's a big vocal minority, not minority, majority of people that want to play it again. Hopefully they do eventually, but that's for another story. Or and another time I say another story. But just like Sonic Adventure 1, I'm probably looking back on Sonic Adventure 2 with those nostalgia goggles. Those games, if I played now, more than likely didn't age well. The controls, while better than Sonic Adventure, the characters, while better, the story, while better, still probably doesn't hold up today. Personally, I still think it's one of the best modern Sonic game series, Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, but they're still not, I would say, with my critical eye, they're probably not great games. But that doesn't matter, does it? Back then, when I originally played them, I didn't care about the flaws they had. I didn't mind the poor voice acting each character had. I didn't mind the bad controls the game had. Hell, I didn't even mind the incoherent story that both games had. I had fun with both those games regardless. From Sonic Adventure, with this new 3D take on him, my mind was blown at what Sonic could be. With Sonic Adventure 2, the coolness of Sonic was amplified. And I wanted to be Sonic. I wanted to be in that universe. I thought this was the epitome of cool. And the fact that I can look back on them, on these games, Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, and think of how much fun I had with them and how important they were to me growing up through elementary school into middle school, I think that's a testament to how much those games themselves are good and how impactful they actually are. People may critique them. Oh, they're not great, whatever. Bad voice acting. These games are trash, basically. It's all nostalgia. But honestly, they left such a big impact on me that I'd argue that the games themselves are iconic and fantastic. Or I just have a very unhealthy obsession with Sonic and really just refuse to believe that the games are bad in any way. But who knows? We'll never find out the truth there, right? But yeah. That's basically my spiel about Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 and what it meant to me as a kid. Now, there were other games that I played after Sonic Adventure 2, Sonic Heroes, and then some of Sonic Unleashed, but right around Sonic Heroes and Unleashed, that's where my knowledge and playtime of the modern Sonic games kind of took a dive. I didn't really play much after that until maybe Mania. Mania was the one that really set it back off, because Mania's great. Generations maybe here and there, but all the other ones I really just almost ignored. So my real playtime and love for Sonic really thrived during the early Sonic games and Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2. Those what really shaped my love for Sonic and my fandom. So that's about it. I hope you enjoyed this small little dive into my love for Sonic. My early years, my early love for Sonic, and how it developed. But I think next week, don't hold me to that. It may be a normal podcast episode with me and Nathan. I'm not too sure at the moment. But if it's not, either of us will come with a solo episode of our own, whether that being news, a game we're playing, or a deep dive into our love for a certain game, like I have in the past too. Maybe even Nathan will talk about Sonic and his secret love for it, because we all know he secretly loves Sonic. Maybe even more than I do. Maybe. But yeah, until next time, guys, play some games. Play some Sonic games, specifically. Maybe Sonic Adventure 2. You can play them on any console now, I think. Don't hold me to that. But yeah, until next time, guys. Peace.